But first, let's go to the offices of Melbourne Victory and speak to interim CEO there at the moment, Richard Wilson. Good morning to you, Richard.
Morning, Carl.
Yes, yeah, really well, mate. It's great having a chat to you this morning. Just let's get on to the issue that occurred this week. After 4 years, Ian Robson announced this week that he would be stepping down as CEO of Melbourne Victory. Robbo being such a strident, upfront and public CEO, was that a surprise to you and the club that he was moving on?
I don't think anything surprises anyone these days in sport, Carlos, and business. Business for that matter, with people's careers. And I think Robbo obviously found a role at Rowing Australia that he thought was really suitable for him at this time of his career. And look, we wish him the best. He's had 4 really good years at Melbourne Victory, and I think people's careers these days take turns for as opportunities arise, and you're never surprised at anything really. And CEOs, generally, you know, 4 or 5 years is a fair run for any CEO in business, and you sort of have a look at sort of reevaluate where you are in your time of your life, your family, and all sorts of things can dictate a decision. So all sorts of surprise, sure, but we wish you the well, and the Olympic movement awaits.
Of course, and Robbo's had an extensive experience across a number of high-profile sports, one including the AFL too, and he was much respected in that sport. How did the club improve during his reign, and what legacy do you think he's leaving behind?
Look, I think you're right. His profile and what came with that was bringing our brand and our day-to-day activities to the fore. You know, obviously, he had a segment with Kevin Bartlett on SEN and his profile around the corporate and government world is strong and a great advocate for the club and what the club has been trying to do, which is particularly in our academy space and our commercial and our business worlds as well. And he's a sports fan, so he's pretty solid on understanding football and the detail around the players and the football department as well. So I think internally he's brought some brought a whole lot of professionalism and at a high elite level that is commensurate to what he's done over the last, you know, 10 or 15 years really, in various sports, and so I think that's probably where his legacy sits with us. We've grown over the last 4 years in our revenues, and obviously we won the championship in 2015, I think it was. So, you know, there's a strong legacy that Ian's left us.
You, of course, have lived every minute and every kick and every tackle of the last 12 years of the A-League. Richard, you've been there since day one. By way of growth, how would you describe the last 4 years? You sort of touched on it with the increase in income, but by way of phases, you talked about CEOs really being 4 or 5 year phases and until, you know, they move on and you get someone else new. Can you describe the last 4 years of growth in the A-League and Melbourne Victory in particular, and what you expect in the next 4 years?
Look, very challenging for the next 4 years, particularly given what's happening right now at the governance level and the independence level of the A-League. Look, the last 4 years, we've grown in pretty much most of the areas of the business of Melbourne Victory. Our social media platforms have continued to grow, connection out to the fans, our community programs through Club Victory, the clubs and the schools and community programs that we run have really gone to the fore, and you know, we've received some significant government funding around all of that to help drive community engagement, you know, just not at the football level either, you know, it's at community levels as well, and behaviours and dealing with various groups throughout Melbourne and Victoria. Our memberships, you know, has gone up. So the club itself has grown and is maturing, and obviously we want it to continue to grow and impact in a highly competitive, you know, world of sport in Victoria and Melbourne with other clubs and the AFL in particular. But for the next 4 years, this period of time with FIFA, the FFA where the A-League clubs are at in terms of how we see the best way forward for the A-League. I think the numbers this year have been disappointing. You know, you can't hide from that. It does look like the league at the minute is in a hiatus situation. And, you know, there are some big decisions. It always starts at the top, Carlos. And what comes out of FIFA and how the FFA and the stakeholders respond and move forward is critical to where the professional game land sees itself over the next 4 years.
When we unravel the turmoil and when we get out of this period, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know how long it's going to be before this political mess gets sorted, but I think we'll find that the clubs will have a little bit more independence. It might be a lot of independence, but a little bit more. I think that's what you guys have been striving for. Does the type of CEO have to match that next phase, where if you're given more independence, if the A-League becomes an independent league, do you need a certain type of CEO to really grab that by the scruff of the neck and go with that?
At an independent A-League level or a Melbourne Victory level?
Oh, both. Given that both. If you're given an independent A-League, I think it affects both, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, definitely. And the clubs, you know, we've worked through a plan. I think it's known we've got a 300-page document that we're close to finalising about a plan for an independent A-League and what all that would mean through the stakeholders and down the ranks, but more importantly, what it would mean for the professional league. So, yeah, we would definitely need a CEO who would be able to deliver that plan and an independent A-League and a management structure and to really take what we believe the A-League to the next phase of its evolution. And I think that's part of the issue around where it sits today for the clubs is it needed what started with Frank Lowy and, 12 years ago. But times move on and the game's changed and our view is that the A-League and the professional game needs to change to go forward, to grow, and to evolve. And so, yeah, it's a very important role, that CEO role for the independent league. And Melbourne Victory, for any club, the CEO, you know, your chairman, your CEO, your coach in terms of football parlance are the three key stakeholders of your club. So a role, you know, for us to get the next and the right CEO going forward for Melbourne Victory is a critical. We're in a critical phase. We are caught up in what's going on. Every club's caught up what's going on at the minute. So we've got to make sure that we have the right person who can. And as a club, we've got to understand, you know, where we're at today, what our vision is going forward, and how we find the right person that can deliver what the board wants and what our fans want. And obviously deliver results on the field as well.
Now, Richard, you are a shareholder, investor, board member, various times interim CEO. I'm surprised that you haven't coached the team yet and you're not the boot starter. You've done so much at that club. What's the potential of Melbourne Victory? I look at it as, your membership numbers are around 27,000 or something like that. I just see this as a 40,000-member club. I see this as a club that's rivaling that will drive the mid-range AFL clubs in Victoria. I think that your footprint here is so strong. Does it frustrate you that you guys aren't at that level yet, given that there's so much potential?
Look, we obviously... I remember actually when I was in the chair there around 2012-13, I think I might have even said to Matt Winry at one time, you know, we should be a 50,000-member club. And I think that the evolution, the transition, what we would call the continuum of getting kids and families to play the game, then come watch games at the A-League, choose a club, and then become a member, hasn't been as quick as what we all would have liked. For whatever reason, that might be. So obviously we do see it, particularly with the numbers of participating kids playing football. There is a real opportunity to take a footprint. But it just goes back to the heart of everything, that if you've got to have all your stars aligned in sport, Australia is a highly competitive sporting beast. And if you don't have everything lined up and the right decisions being made from the top all the way through, your media partners, your marquee players, what you're delivering on the ground, what's around match day, then other sports will take their opportunity. And we've just got to get all of these structural things right to provide a really firm foundation. Our relationship with state federations and clubs, all dripping down into the grassroots. The professional game is what drives any code in any country. It's really important that the A-League is allowed to flourish, allowed to grow, because as we've seen in the last 12 years, the growth in football, when it was, as was described by Stephen Lowy, a basket case, what's happened in football because of the A-League and the investment of the owners in particular is that it's given a pathway and a vision for kids to play football and see a professional game at a level never seen before in the country. And that's what we've got to capitalise on. So you're right, we want 50,000 members, and we've got a stadium that can cater for 50,000 members. Mm. And we want to play the game, and it's the world game, and that's why we invested in it, that's why we're a part of it, that's why we spent so much time with it. It's been a great journey along the way, and our fans have enjoyed fantastic success, and our members have stuck with us, and we're not going anywhere. But it's a hard road. It's competitive, and getting the right CEO at Melbourne Victory, getting the right CEO if we can get an independent A-League and the right management team around that to drive it are critical factors for the game.
And you guys are the barometer for me. I think you and Western Sydney Wanderers, but you've been at it a lot longer than them. And if you guys can get it right and be the template for all the other clubs, I think it's ready to be turbocharged, really, the A-League. One last one before I let you go, mate. What I've really loved this year, the introduction of the double headers, and we've got another one this Friday night, of course, at Etihad between you and Adelaide. You've got your youth team playing before the seniors, and I know that around the offices here at FNR, there's a few of our youth team experts, youth league experts, who just love the idea of the kiddies playing before the main guys. Is there a chance that we're going to get more of this? Because I just think watching the next a lot of youth coming through is a real interest to a lot of your supporters.
Look, I think it's a little bit of logistics around with venues and opening and things like that, but and crowds and so there's a bit of a logistical issue around that. But there's no doubt we would want games. You know, we've had the women's league play some games. If they haven't played already, they will be. Friday night's another example of that. So we would like, whether you call them curtain raisers or whatever we call them, I think for the players, it's the younger players and for the girls to be able to play on a main stadium in those environments is part of the whole maturing and their experience and the desire to want to play football at the highest level on the best stadiums and on the best pitches. So we'd like to do it every week. Logistically, it's difficult, but that's certainly why these games are being played, as to so that we can get as many as we can in a season. And of course, these two seasons, the Women's League season and the Youth League seasons, are short seasons. So it comes a little bit tight. The fans just need to understand the curators and the stadium owners are very precious about their grass. And so it sometimes becomes a bit difficult with the wear and tear and the other codes that play or other events that are on in these stadiums. So it becomes a bit tricky sometimes.
Just before I let you go, Richard, where are you at with the academy? I know Ian Robson was very disappointed with the fact that funding from government didn't come through to set up that academy. I think they were talking about it with VU in the Footscray area here in Melbourne. Where are you at with that? Because I think if Victory get that right, suddenly that is a fantastic template for the rest of the clubs too.
Yeah, and look... Look, we're about to resubmit for that project this week. I think our document will be finished to be lodged into the government. We've been working closely with Sport and Rec and other government departments to put a very enhanced community-based academy program to them for funding. It's a substantial amount of money that we're looking to achieve. But I think both from a football side into the academy that you talk about and the facility that will also support community programs and outreach is a fantastic model. And I think that hopefully this time, of course, it's an election year, and they have got a lot of money from the sale of the ports. So we're hopeful that we'll get it through this this time around, which obviously will be somewhere between May and March and April through the budget cycle, so forth. So it's a really important piece of our club that we haven't achieved as yet. It's fundamental for any sporting organisation. The AFL clubs have been doing it, and you see it in football parliament around the world. They've all got academies, all the big clubs, and the clubs have got academies and junior talent pathway programs. So we're really bullish about getting something done very, very quickly.
Good on you, Richard. Look, mate, keep up the great work. Victory, I know there's a lot of potential there to reach, a lot of work to be done, but you guys are on the path, mate. So thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Carlos. Thanks for your support.
Good on you, mate. That's Richard Wilson, interim CEO, after the announcement that Ian Robson will be moving on from Melbourne Victory in the near future as CEO. They'll be looking for a new one, and hopefully it'll be a new environment, an independent A-League environment that they'll be working in when they get the new CEO.